This morning I want us to talk a little bit about the Jewish calendar. And in your bulletin there's a copy of the Jewish calendar. There's some reasons why we need to study that. First of all, the Bible makes reference to certain festivals, certain feasts. And we need to understand what those are because it helps us understand what was going on and why the early church met at certain times, why certain things were referred to in the way they were. Let me give you an example of that as you're looking at the calendar. Let me call your attention to a story that's in Mark, the 11th chapter, starting with verse 12. Maybe this kind of thing never bothers you, but it bothered me. I guess I sometimes read something and try to make some sense of it. But in Mark, the 11th chapter, there's a discussion of Jesus teaching an object lesson with a fig tree. And the lesson's pretty clear, but it's the little addition to the story that is kind of interesting. I'm just going to read Mark 11, starting with verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything on it to eat. But when he came to it, he found there was nothing but leaves, for its time of figs had not happened yet. And Jesus said to the tree, no man will eat fruit of you from now on, forever. Well, now that's kind of a temper tantrum. Why are you yelling at a tree, Jesus? Well, the reason he's yelling at the tree is because he's going to make an object lesson to his disciples. But you say, yeah, but that's crazy that the Bible says it wasn't the time for figs. Well, look at your calendar for a minute. What we have in the calendar is the Jewish months, starting with month 1 through 12. We have the name they gave the month, the biblical references for where that time is described in the Bible, our 21st century equivalent. And then on the next column over says seasons. And if you look down that seasons column, you notice that there are early figs ripening in May and June. But let your finger run on down a little bit, and you'll notice that there are summer figs ripening in August and September. And notice that if you go a little further down, there's winter figs ripening in October and November. See, figs are kind of weird plants. They have three different cycles. And if there are leaves on the tree, that usually means that it's in one of the cycles. So Jesus made perfect sense in asking, where are your figs? Where is your fruit? Because there's three different times. Now, I know there's a lot of Michigan apple growers that would love to see apples come three times a year. But that's not the way it works. The fig is very unique. And so, by understanding the Jewish calendar a little bit, we understand things like that. It's trivial. Maybe it doesn't bother you. But I work with skeptics. I work with people who doubt the Bible. And the result is that I have heard this numerous times. You know, what's the matter with Jesus? Well, it's not that difficult. Let me show you another example. In class this morning, we got to talking about Methuselah. Methuselah lived to be 969 years. I don't know about you, but I'm at the age where I don't want to live another 900 years. Not if this body is going to work the way it does now. And I think it's important to understand that a lot of people read those long life expectancies, but they say, you know, that just doesn't sound right. Something's wrong there. Well, this is a cultural issue. The Hebrews based their time on a lunar calendar. Now, you've got to understand something. Our calendar was established by Pope Gregory in the 900s. The Roman Catholic Church put our calendar together. And it was based upon certain Catholic festivals, holidays. Jewish calendar is based on lunar cycles. And the way they established the beginning of each cycle was by where the moon was at sunset. So if the moon had a crescent at sunset, that was the first day of the Jewish month. And then it went through the total cycle to full moon. So the Jewish month was between 29 and 30 days. Now, if you know your math, and if you know your calendar, you may understand that that doesn't add up to 365. But you see, the 365 is the Gregorian calendar. So there's an 11-day difference between the Jewish month and our Gregorian month. So Methuselah lived 969 Hebrew years, Hebrew time periods, not Gregorian years based upon something established in 900 AD. And we don't know all of the things that have to do with that, but you know we have a modern day equivalent. Most of you know what the Farmer's Almanac is. What's the Farmer's Almanac based on? Mostly on lunar phases, isn't it? So it's a very similar type of thing. But what I thought would be helpful for us this morning is let's go through the Jewish calendar for a moment. We won't do the whole thing. We'll do the most significant months. And we'll see how some of these things carry special messages to us. And hopefully help us understand some of the festivals, some of the feasts, some of the things that were a part of the time in which Jesus lived upon the earth. So you'll notice as you look at the calendar there, the first month was Nisan. Nisan would be our March and April. In other words, the Jewish year begins next month. Remember, it's not the Gregorian calendar. And spring begins at the first full moon. And of course, we know that that is actually getting close to the equinox, the time when the day is equal in length to a night. And spring is coming. Boy, we're looking forward to that, aren't we? I have to tell you, it's kind of funny. You know, Moak has lived in Thailand all her life. And as she came looking at us at this time of year, she said, "Why are all your trees dead?" Well, you see, in Thailand, they don't have winter as we know it. The trees never lose their leaves. So she's looking at all these dead-looking trees and saying, "What an awful place. Everything's dead." Well, I'm looking forward to her reaction when they start leafing out. It'll be different. We read in Exodus, the 12th chapter in verse 2, "The Lord spake to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be to you the beginning of months." Now, we know when that is. We know it's in March. We know we're getting up against the Passover time, which, of course, is, in modern terms, what is called Easter in our culture. "It shall be the first month of the year to you." So the Jewish calendar and everything associated with it, and much of what we do, is based upon the history of God bringing the Jews out of Egypt. So on the 14th of Nisan, that's the 14th of the Jewish month, there's something called the Passover. The Passover was a celebration throughout their history of God passing over the Hebrews as he took the firstborn of the Egyptians. And so in Exodus 12 and verse 18, God tells him, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you will eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month." Also in Nisan is the feast of the unleavened bread for the Jews, because in Leviticus 23 and verse 6, the Bible tells us, "And on the 15th day of Nisan is the feast of the unleavened bread." Now, we just had a communion service. What was passed to you was unleavened bread. Why unleavened? Because what we are remembering is that the leavening prohibition given to the Jews was because they were going to have to leave in a hurry. And so when the Passover was celebrated by Jesus and his disciples, they ate the unleavened bread. That's what that passage tells us. And we eat unleavened bread remembering that great deliverance that God gave his people. And in Matthew 26 and in verse 17, Jesus ate of the unleavened bread, observing the feast of the unleavened bread. That is what 1 Corinthians 11 refers to in the communion service that Paul instituted. So notice how the Jewish calendar is connected to us and to the things that we do in worship. There's enormous history. There's enormous connections between us and what God has done in the past. There's one other feast that they had in the time of Nisan, in the first month. And it was called the First Fruits Celebration. That was another festival. Leviticus 23 and verse 10. When you come into the land which I give you, and you reap the harvest of it, you shall bring a sheaf, that's a wrapping, you shall bring a wrapping of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. So for the Jews, the harvest celebration, the first fruits harvest, which the Bible refers to repeatedly, was a celebration. It was a celebration for deliverance. It was the celebration of the care of God. And don't you know that's what we need to be doing too? You know, one of the things that's so important for us today is to realize the incredible blessings we have in being Christians. Look at the turmoil the world's in right now. Look at things that are happening in virtually every country on the planet. And look at the turmoil in our own land. Now, whether you're Trump or anti-Trump, doesn't matter. Look at the things going on around us and be thankful to God that as Christians we have something better. We can celebrate the fact that our focus is on serving people and helping people. We don't have to be worried about tomorrow. We don't have to be concerned about whether the stock market goes up or down. We don't have to build walls because of human differences. What an incredible celebration. What a great thing we have, celebrating the care of God. The second month, you'll notice on your sheet, is, and I don't know the exact Hebrew pronunciation here, I-Y-Y-A-R, Ayar. This is the dry season. It's kind of interesting that there was a special Passover showing God's care during the second month. It was called the later Passover. Listen to Numbers 9, beginning with verse 10. This is God's instructions now to the Israelites. If any man among you shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or is in a long journey, he will still keep the Passover. Now, before I go any further with that passage, let me point out to you that the only people that could participate in the Passover were those who were clean. And if somebody had been in touch with a dead body, they were unclean. Many times, Israelite people were in different countries where they couldn't go to the local place of worship, to the temple. And so there's a provision here. And I keep reading. In the 14th day of the second month, they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And that verse goes on to tell us that strangers can also participate in this ordinance. So what's the message to us in the church? God has always provided for all people, even the disenfranchised. God cares about you. No matter what. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past, no matter what limitations you have, God has always provided for every human on the planet. He doesn't force it. People can choose to reject it. But if we will accept His love, He has always provided. And that was what the second month and the late Passover was all about. The third month, you'll notice on your sheet, has a name you probably recognize. And that's the word Pentecost. That comes from Leviticus 23, beginning with verse 15. And by the way, in your bulletin there are these scripture references if you want to look these up. And you shall count from the day you were brought the sheaf of the wave offering 7 Sabbaths. So that's 7 times 7, 49, plus 1. And from that day you shall number 50 days and then offer the new meat offering to the Lord. I think most of us who have been members of the Church of Christ understand that the day of Pentecost was special. It was special to the Jews. It was a celebration of the relief from the Passover. There was a whole different set of things available to the people at that point. And that was the day where Peter stood up and declared the famous sermon talking about the establishment of the church. Acts 2 and verse 1. And verse 22, because this was also a feast of plenty, a beginning of the harvest. The first harvest was taking place in May, June, in the third month. And listen to what happened here. This is verse 22 of Leviticus 23. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not clean out the corners of your field, neither glean your harvest, but you shall leave them to the poor and to the stranger. Isn't that incredible? That God, from the very beginning, had a provision for those who were poor, who didn't have the necessities of life. The people who did have those things were to leave the corners of their field available to the people that didn't have what they needed to survive. More celebration of God's deliverance. Why do we have the food bank? Why do we have the COATS program, which we're hoping to expand now into some other things? Read the back page here. Bolton, Brenda has brought us some really interesting things we can do there. Why do we have that? Because that's part of Christianity, and it's based upon God's constant provision for those who are in need. So we serve the community. It's kind of interesting. We had an incident this week where a man called because he needed food, and I asked him, how did you get a hold of our name? And he said, because people tell me that the M51 Church helps people. What a great testimony to this congregation. To recognize that we are becoming known in the community as people who serve. So the third month was a month of deliverance. The next 3 months, the fourth month, the fifth month, and the sixth month, if you look at your calendar, were harvest months. And this was a time of incredible activity. Our June and July, the grape harvest. Our July and August, the olive harvest. Our August and September, the date harvest and the summer figs. There weren't any celebrations during this time because God had instructed the people to work, to gather the things that He had provided. And these are therefore months of harvest. But in the seventh month, which is our September and October, the early rains came. And God again had specific instructions for them. Numbers 29 and verse 1. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation, the King James says, celebration. What are we going to celebrate? It is the day of blowing trumpets, the passage says. You know what a trumpet was? It was those big ram horns that you've seen. When we see all the historical pictures, you see these guys blowing these huge horns, made an incredible volume and carried an enormous distance. And what it announced was a celebration, a time of rejoicing. God is all about celebration. The Bible tells us that when someone becomes a Christian, that the angels rejoice. We are called to celebrate. And so in the seventh month, which is the month right after the harvest, there was a celebration to be able to see that you had food for the coming months. As winter approached, to know that you weren't going to be without. But on the 10th day, there was a special day. And notice how the picture changes. The first months were a celebration of God's blessing and the Exodus. Then we have this break during the harvest. Then we have a celebration of a great harvest. But on the 10th day, there's a day of atonement. Leviticus 16, verse 29. And this shall be a statute for you. Then the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls. For on that day, the priest will make atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be free of all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute, to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. This was followed by a feast of the tabernacles from the 15th to the 21st. Again, let me read Leviticus 23, verse 34. The 15th day of the seventh month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. The first day, made by fire. The eighth day, the same. Notice what happens. After thanksgiving for the harvest, a time to sit back and say, okay, God has really blessed me. What is my response? What is my response? And the plan was to go to the priest and say, I want to be forgiven of my sins. I've done some things. I've said some things. I've had some thoughts I shouldn't have had. A day of atonement. So there was a specific feast of the tabernacles, a specific day of atonement to celebrate that. Notice the change. From praise to thanksgiving to forgiveness to spiritual. The eighth month was the month of plowing, our October and November, harvesting winter figs. The ninth month, the tenth month, the 11th month was the time of sowing. We have a reference in John 10 and verse 22. It was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. So the Jewish calendar has some strong messages to us. How about our own celebrations? How about our own festivals? What is our calendar like? Can we celebrate the deliverance from the world? You know, I couldn't help but think last Sunday, we had so much food back there, we could not even begin to eat it. We didn't just have casseroles, which some of us had brought. The month before, we were all feeling pretty bad because we didn't have any desserts. Last time, I counted 9 desserts. We had so much food, we couldn't eat it all. Why did that happen? Because we are a blessed people. We need to be thankful to God that He has delivered us from the world. For us to be able to be free of hunger. For us to have freedom, not bound by a bunch of restrictive laws. Thou shalt nots. We're studying Galatians on Wednesday night. And the very first thing we studied in Galatians was Galatians 1:6, where Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into a grace of Christ to another gospel. And as we have studied that other gospel was a gospel of laws and regulations and things that you had to do, nitpicky things that had to be done just right, in just the right way, at just the right time. Some of the stuff we've just looked at today. And there were people that wanted to go back to that system of trying to meet every nit and dot of these ancient Jewish laws. And we're free of that. We have freedom in Christ, not to make mistakes, not to continue to deliberately sin, But to not be bound by that, to rely upon God's grace, and to celebrate that freedom. We are told to continually look to our own sins and shortcomings. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, it's kind of interesting. Every time we get together for our classes, the first thing we do is say, okay, who needs our prayers? Who's having problems? And if you're having problems, your name has come up, I promise you. This morning we're talking about Katie, we're talking about Julie, we're talking about all of those things we were aware of. Sometimes there are things we're not aware of. But that prayer is what James calls us to. When we come together, there's an announcement made from this pulpit on Sunday morning. What's that about? Again, we want to know if you're hurting and we want to pray for you. We're not asking questions. We're not judging. We're wanting the opportunity to go to God on your behalf and hope that you will be healed, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual. You've been in our prayers. That's what God calls us as Christians to do. Verse 19 through 20 says, if any of you err from the truth and one converts him, in other words, brings him to truth, let him know that whoever converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. Christianity is the most positive message known to man. That God wants to restore you to the kind of relationship that Adam had with God. To have a spirit that is not burdened down with a bunch of laws and regulations that are difficult to keep. But to develop a relationship, God, like that song we sang. Could you relate to that song? He walks with me and he talks with me. We laugh and pray together. That song expresses a positive Christian spirit, a joy in being a Christian. That's our celebration. And we celebrate it every week. On Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Every time we have an opportunity to be together. Do you have that positive spirit? I hope this lesson this morning has given you some idea of the connections between the old law and the new law. I thought to myself as I was doing the legwork on this sermon, you know, if I was listening to this sermon, I don't want to hear all those Jewish laws. So I only picked five. I know some of you would start snoring. It's like Gibson always tells me, I can talk as long as I want, but he's only going to listen for 15 minutes. You know, I understand that. But I think it's important to understand the beauty of the Christian system and to realize what our heritage is. And if you're here this morning, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to recognize what a beautiful thing Christianity is. How it's rooted in a history that is so old and so complex that we can only touch the hem of it. And if anyway you're here this morning and if you want to become a Christian, if you're here this morning and you're struggling with some things you want to share with us, we urge you to come and express that. Come to the front as together we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?